Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to the number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Father God, we want to thank you for the privilege that we have to be able to come here on Sunday mornings. Lord, we know that there's churches around the world, your church around the world, Lord, where it's just not safe, it's just not possible for people to come together to worship you on a Sunday morning like we do. So Lord, help us not to take that privilege for granted. And Lord, where in many places around the world in this country, Sundays are just no longer seen as special. Lord God, don't let us ourselves ever fall into that trap. Help us each Sunday to be looking forward to spending time with you, spending time with our brothers and sisters in Christ, and spending time worshipping, praying, and listening to what you have to say to us. So, Lord, as Math comes to speak your word, Lord, pray that you'll help us to listen, help us to understand, and help us to draw closer to you and to each other as we hear your word. Amen. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Today, correct me if I'm wrong, is Sunday, isn't it? And actually, it's one of the rare Sundays where the sun is actually out as well. So it's a Sunday. But why is it for the last 2,000 years, Christians have met together on Sundays? Why is it that today there'll be people in nearly every country, nearly every language, nearly every ethnicity, will be worshipping at church today? Even in Ukraine today, there will be Christians who are gathering together as church today. Why is it that you and I are here today on a Sunday? And why did the early church in Acts, from that passage, devote to meeting together once a week, along with other days and other things, but devote to Sundays? Because in the first chapter of the Bible, in Genesis 1, we read about God created the world in 6 days. So he worked, he was a worker, he created the world in 6 days. But then in Genesis 2, he added another non-creating day, if you like. Genesis 2, 2 and 3 says, "By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done." So he created a day, an extra day, to rest, to reflect, and enjoy his creation and himself. Yet Psalm 121 tells us that God doesn't slumber or sleep. So he wasn't tired. God didn't think, "Oh, I've done this now, I'm absolutely whacked, I need a day off." Like he wasn't tired. God doesn't get tired. He doesn't get weary. He doesn't need sleep. But he created this extra day. And he said that this day will be blessed. This will be different. It will be a time of rest, a time for his creation and his created beings, humankind, to remember the Creator God, to pause, to reflect, and to remember the Creator of God, the Maker of all things. Like, today's a beautiful day, isn't it? And people will look at today and look at creation, or they'll head down the beach, Or they'll go for a lovely walk and just think, oh, this is a beautiful day. This is, like, great. But a lot of people think, like, this just came from nothing. Like, this was just a big bang, and all of a sudden it's just perfect, and we get to enjoy this. But for us, we pause today, don't we, and say, this is a great day, and God has made it. Like, this is a lovely day. We enjoy it. We recognize it. We see that, and we want to celebrate the fact that we've got a good day in Wales, but also that the fact that this is a day that God has made, that he has created this world. But this day in Genesis, this wasn't the Sabbath. This wasn't what we hear of the Sabbath. The Sabbath, a commanded day of rest, one of the Ten Commandments, was not given to the people of Israel for another 2,500 years later. So this wasn't the Sabbath. And this was given to the people of Israel when they came out of slavery from the Egyptians. So these people, the people of God who we had journeyed with and they had journeyed with, they haven't had a day off for 450 years. So they didn't know what a 7-day week looked like. They didn't know what a day of rest. They haven't had a day off for 750 years. Like, it was lovely to hear about the Mother's Day, wasn't it? And about how it was all consuming every day. But like that was like their reality under slavery for 450 years. And so they came out of that, and God gave them a Sabbath, a day of rest, because many of them didn't know what rest looked like, and many of them didn't know this one Creator God, this God of rest. So God gave them a Sabbath. That would be an amazing gift, wouldn't it? He's given them a day off, effectively. He's given them a day to pause, to rest, to repent of the situation they got in, the sin in their hearts, to turn back to God, but also to remember God, not just this Creator God, but also now to remember the God who's freed them, the God who's freed them from slavery, the God who has given them freedom. And so he was changing their culture. He was changing their DNA. Their culture, their DNA for the last 450 years is work. Like, you're not going to get paid. You don't get to do your hours. Like, you're going to work. So you're going to be a slave to work for 450 years. And God is now changing their culture. He's changing their DNA. And he's saying, I'm going to give you a day off, a day of rest, a day to just be you, a day to just remember me, remember the God of creation, remember the one who's also now freed you from slavery, to remember that I am your God and that you are my people. And so he was giving them a day of rest, but also to know God, to be still and know that he is God. And over time, these people, the people of Israel, these people of God, they then made a temple for God in Jerusalem, and then they also made synagogues, almost like mini temples in different areas, not who people who didn't live in Jerusalem, kind of like equivalent of a church building where people go to pray and worship, repent, listen, hear the word of God. And this would have been done almost on a daily basis, which we saw in Acts 2. They met together daily, and that was the reason, because transport was different there, and so these synagogues were part of the communities. So popping in where our culture today is a church, is the radius is wider, where they would have just popped in on a daily basis to go to pray, to go to hear the word of God read. This would have been a daily act, and so their culture had now changed to this. Yet many people worked, so the most popular day for going to the temple or going to the synagogue was a Sabbath, and the Sabbath was a Saturday. The first day of the week it was a Sunday, and so this is the seventh day, a Saturday, which is the Sabbath. But then, and so that was the culture. But then, by Jesus' time, so another six, if you've got creation, and then 2,500 years later, Sabbath, and then another 1,600 years later, Jesus enters the scene. And then, so 1,600 years after, unfortunately, what God had created for good, like this day of rest coming out of slavery, that's amazing, isn't it? Like this day of rest, this day of focusing on God, what God has meant for good, for the people to pause and to worship him and to rest and to take off recovery in him. The religious leaders, so those representing God, had now made rules and regulations. And so this Sabbath, this day of freedom, this day of rest, this day of being with God and being with another, had now become a straitjacket with rules and regulations. And it just becomes so petty. If you've got your Bible and you want to look in Mark 2, 23 to 27, I'm just going to read it. This is how petty it became. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and his disciples walked along, and they began to pick some heads of grain. I love doing that. Did anyone else like doing that? Do you know Dan, you like doing that? And I just pick them up. And there's one trick, you can bend it and like flick it. And I'll show you after, okay, Dan? I'll show it. But I love doing that. Do you know when you're just feeling it through your fingers as you walk along? So that's what the disciples are doing. They're just walking along and just kind of picking that and just enjoying that. And then the Pharisees, look how petty it got. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are you doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" Like, really? Like, this is what it had come to? That this is what, like, kind of God was really interested in? This is what God wanted when he thought of the Sabbath? That he's going to pick up on people picking up grain going through their hand, like, on this day? And Jesus gave them an example in Scripture when King David ate with his friends and the priest bread that they shouldn't have. And then Jesus said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath." Like, the Sabbath was a gift to man. It was a gift. This day, this once out of 7 days, this is a gift for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man, but then he says, but also the Son of Man, Jesus, a term he often gives for himself, the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. So he's saying, like, guys, what are you doing? Like, this is a gift. This is a gift that God has given you. You've messed it up. But let me just make it clear. Like, I'm Lord over this. Like, you think picking grains is a problem? Like, I'm Lord over this. He's pointing back to creation. Not just this, I'm Lord over all of this. Like, I created all of this. And that's a great answer, it doesn't give us the answer then why we meet on a Sunday. And why we meet on a Sunday is effectively, a short answer is because one Sunday 2,000 years ago changed everything. It changed history. It is why we have 2022 today. Like, that is it. It's because the Sunday. Like, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, we would have never heard of him. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, today would not be 2022. He could have lived, he could have died, but if he did not rise from the dead, history would not be split BC and AD. And so that Sunday changed everything. And if you've got your Bibles and you want to have a look, this is Matthew 28, verse 1 to 10. And you can look at the words here. It says, "After the Sabbath..." So Jesus had been killed and buried on the Friday. And then it says, "After the Sabbath, at dawn, on the first day of the week..." So for us, a lot of our first day of the week is Monday, isn't it? But the first day of the week, there was Sunday. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples, and suddenly Jesus met them. The risen Jesus, who had 2 days before, his body was ripped, dead on a cross, thrown into a grave. Now, on this Sunday, where they were going to pay their respects, where they were going to clean the dead body, where they were going to rewrap the dead body, suddenly Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. They came to him, fell at his feet, and worshipped him. They worshipped him. And then Jesus said, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see him. And that Sunday changed everything. I read this week how Jesus then met people on this first day, four consecutive Sundays over the next 40 days before he ascended into heaven. And so like Sunday became the day where they met the living Jesus. Like this is the day where they met. It wasn't just the only day, but the day they started to meet the living Jesus. And we can see in Acts 2 that Andy read out, they met daily in their homes and they went to the temple together also on other days. But as more Jews rejected Jesus and rejected the followers, and as they became persecuted, and as more Gentiles accepted Jesus and weren't part of the history, Sunday became the Lord's Day, which is in Revelation 1:10. And so today, 2,000 years on, we want to carry on worshipping the risen Jesus, don't we? That's why we're here today. That's why we've come today, is to worship the risen Jesus as his disciples, followers, by being together and loving one another and being his church and being his body and telling other the good news. And we believe this weekly Sunday gathering is biblical. And during this time, we want to do as the early church did. We want to see the principles, what they did, how they did it, and we want to carry on doing what they did. And so from the verses that Andy read in Acts 2, just picking out some words that he said, baptisms. We want to see more baptisms, don't we? We want to see this pool. Wouldn't it be great if this pool was open every week? That's our heart, isn't it? We want to see people baptized, and we do that mainly on Sundays because it's a time where we all celebrate together, where we all join together, and so we want to be baptizing people on Sundays together. It says they're teaching and praising God and prayers. And John 4:24 says he's looking for people who worship God in spirit and in truth. So that's why we preach his word. That's why we believe his word. That's why we sing his word. That's why we pray his word, because we believe that Jesus is the word of God. And we also want his freedom through his spirit. We want to be prompted by his spirit. We want to know his sense of his spirit. And we want to go after God in worship. Coming out of COVID, where we had masks on, where we sang separated, where we all found it difficult, like, we want to go after God in worship, don't we? We want to go after him and seek him and let his spirit be present with us. And also we want to give space to pray and see God answer prayer. So we may offer prayer more. We may in time get a prayer team. We say, like, if we've opened the word of God and you want to be prayed for, we want to pray for one another, don't we? And we want to see God answer prayer. We want to see praying for people and see God answer prayer. It also there talks about distribute proceeds, and we want to be a people, we want to be a church that give to one another through our money to one another, and to also to other things and missions. We want to give to the monthly missions. We want to be a generous people. We want to hold lightly to what we have and be a people that give. Also in distributing or giving, we'll talk about more on serving in devoted, but Sunday is a chance for us all to just distribute and give and serve what God has given us. It's almost like that church lunch that we had last month, where we all just brought stuff together, didn't we? We all just brought food together. We all brought what we made, what we got, what we bought, and then we just brought it all together And then we just enjoyed it, didn't we? We enjoyed that together. And Sundays is like that. It's recognizing the different gifts, the different things that God has given us, and it's effectively just bringing it together. Like bringing it together and enjoying being the people of God, enjoying the gifts that God has given us, serving one another, giving one another to point us more to Jesus. And breaking bread, we're going to do that this morning. I'll explain that soon. But also fellowship. They says there, fellowship. They believed together. They met at the temple together. The believers, all who believed were together. And before we break bread together, let me say that fellowship, believers being together, regularly going to the temple or regularly coming to church, is something that COVID has taken away, isn't it? It took away from us. We were isolated. Don't mix. Don't stay in your homes. Don't go into large gatherings. But as we come out of COVID, and I'm aware that many people have actually got COVID right now, but as we come out of COVID together as leaders, we want us as leaders and for you as this church to be devoted to the Sunday gathering. Like almost like starters. Like starters, like to be devoted to the Sunday gathering. But we need to be aware of the things that is out there to stop us. Because we believe in God, we believe that God is in control, we believe that he is sovereign, but also we believe that he's got an enemy. That God has got an enemy, and the enemy doesn't want people gathering on Sunday. The enemy doesn't want his church being here. The enemy doesn't want a church on Thornhill, in Thornhill. The enemy doesn't want that. And so we need to be aware of the things that are against us. And one thing that are against us is culture. Andy said it. When I was brought up in church, I went to church 2, 3, sometimes 4 times on a Sunday. Can anyone else, when they were brought up, went to church more than once on a Sunday? Yeah, quite a few people. And also, I was brought up in a church, so we went quite a lot. And even nominal Christianity, so people who just went to church because they were brought up in a... Even nominal Christianity, people would still go to church quite a bit. And also, I was brought up in a time where everything else was closed. Everything. Can anyone else remember Sundays, everything else? I think the first thing that opened in my stay on a Sunday was Spa. And like, if anything you don't want to open is Spa, isn't it? But Spa was open. You can tell how rough my stay was. Spa had a bouncer. But so everything else was closed except for this. So I can remember that. I can remember that part where people, Christians went to church because they wanted to be in different things. Nominal Christianity was even at a time there. And everything else was closed. But look at today, 20, 30 years on. Now, everything is open on a Sunday. Like, Sunday is an extra Saturday. And we think that's great, don't we? People think, oh, that's great. But what do people say more than anything? Man, I'm busy. I'm stressed. I got too much on. And so they've neglected this day of rest, this day of creation. And they think, oh, this is great. But people are more busy, more stressed, more worked out than anything. Do you think 24/7 is a good thing? Like, people are stressed. People are just full on. People are tired. And so we've got this where now Sunday, everything is open. It's just an extra Saturday. Nominal Christianity is dead or nearly dead. And so people who used to go to church for the practice of going to church, they don't go to church anymore, or many of them don't. And also, we've gone from people who go to church maybe 2 or 3 times on a Sunday to now many Christians, and this is pre-COVID as well, go to church maybe 1 or 2 Sundays a month, or when it suits us, or when it fits in. And now it's pre-COVID as well, and thus... That's just been part, unfortunately, of how the church has been influenced by culture. And the enemy and our culture want Christians to get caught up on a Sunday. The enemy in our culture, like, they want you to send your children to play rugby instead of go to church. Like, they want that. The boys ask me as well, like, oh, why isn't Ian playing? Like, the culture and the enemy, those people don't, they want that. They want you to pick sport over church. The culture wants us to pick car boot sales over Jesus. Like, they want that. To be fair, car boot sales are pretty bad, and they, like, so we'd want to go anyway. But it's only on a Sunday morning. Like, they want you to do that. They want you to earn a bit extra bucks. The culture wants us to think on a Sunday, this is a lovely day. Like, let's give Jesus a day off and let's go to the beach. Like, our culture, like, the enemy wants that. Like, he loves that. The enemy in our culture wants us to pick kids' parties over Jesus. Like, that's what I want. To pick kids' parties over Jesus. And we've kind of thought, like, oh, well, actually, it's a good opportunity to witness if I go there. Actually, it's not. What you're saying is, actually, this party is more important than church. Like, there's no, we can't witness there. Like, oh, all right, I'll be here. Do you want to come to church next Sunday? Actually, I've got another party. Oh, yeah, so have I. Like, it doesn't work like that. Like, our culture, the enemy doesn't care about church. Doesn't care about us gathering. It doesn't want us to gather. The enemy doesn't want us to gather. The enemy wants us to pick revision or do an extra work on a Sunday over Jesus. Like, our culture is against Jesus. Like, it hates Jesus. It doesn't get care. And so as Christians, like, let's not get caught up in that. Like, let's not get lost in that. Let's repent and change our ways and say, no, I'm reclaiming this. I'm reclaiming this. And I'm not saying, like, go back to an almost like you come to church and then you go home, you don't watch the TV, you don't do anything. If you want a time rest, like, that's up to you. If you want to have your rest on a Saturday, that's up to you. Like, today, after me and Becky and the boys, I was thinking of taking a dump in Arth for Mother's Day, but I forgot about the traffic. But, like, that's what we want to do, is take it or go over to someone else's house for food. But we meet together on a Sunday morning. It doesn't have to be on a Sunday morning, but this is our time where we do. And, like, we are looking for people to devote again to that. Like, that's what we're saying. Like, let's devote again to that. Even when Sainsbury's car park is 5 or 6 times fuller than ours, we are going to say we're going to devote to this. Because Jesus is Lord, even over the Sabbath, even over Sainsbury's, even over the beach, even over kids' parties. Jesus is Lord, and so even if we're a minority, we are going to gather together and say Jesus is Lord. That the enemy, we're going to be here in Thornhill, and we're going to stand against the enemy and stand against our culture and say Jesus is Lord. He is Lord, and we're going to commit ourselves to that. Romans 12 says this, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. And verse 2 says this, do not conform to the pattern of this world. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And the second and final thing that is against us or wants to be against our fellowship, believers being together, is also ourselves and our family. And that's a hard one, isn't it? Like, ourselves and our family. Some of us here have non-Christian spouses. Some of us here have kids who don't come or want to come to church. Some of us are here and we're the only ones in our household. But also some of us are here and we're spiritually distanced. Some of us have maybe fallen out of love with Jesus or his church. And so family can be a conflict, can't it? Family can be conflict. Or how much time are you giving to the church? Or what about us? Or Where are you spending your time with? Or why didn't you think about us more? Or like, I didn't marry into this. Or why are you giving your time to other people? And even as a pastor, like, I have conflict. I need to find balance. If my sons see me playing, engaging, and giving time to other kids and loving other kids on Sundays or in the week or in schools, and then I don't have time for themselves, like, that's not right, is it? If I'm loving other kids and looking after them and being kind, and then my boy's like, he doesn't do that for me, like, that's not right, is it? And also, like, if I'm counselling or listening or caring for other men and other women, but then not giving time to my wife, or not giving a listening ear to my wife, or not caring for my wife, like, that's not right. Like, that's not right, is it? If she sees that and then sees me different in that. But even though it's hard, like, Jesus did say it. Jesus said, like, first and foremost, even though we've got our physical families, and that's where we came from, and that's what we produce, and that's what he's given us, and that's the gift, but he is saying, actually, also is temporary. Even though it's massively important, he's given us it, it is temporary, because the eternal family is his church. And that's hard, but like that is, he's saying, the eternal family is his church. When it talks about one story in Mark talks about Jesus' brothers and his mothers come to him, and he's in a house and teaching, and they say, Jesus, your mother and your brothers outside, like, they want to see. And Jesus says, no, like, the people who listen to me, the people who love me, my disciples, they are my brothers, they are my mothers, they are my sisters. That's hard, isn't it? Like, he came from that family, and he's saying that. He came from his physical family, and he's saying, like, I'm prioritizing this. And it even gets harder. Matthew 10:37. Check this out for all of us. Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. That's heavy stuff, isn't it? Like, if Jesus wasn't God, he is mental, isn't he? To say those things, that's crazy. If Jesus wasn't God, like, that is crazy words. But because Jesus is the author of life, the one, the creator, the one who gives life and rest and hope, he's saying, like, am I your first love? The first commandment, love your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Am I your first love? And final area that stops us is ourselves. Either we feel too bad, so our sin is too bad, and so I can't come, or I can't be here, I can't be a part of this. Or actually we're selfish, and we want to do our own thing, or we're lazy. And Jesus loves us, so if you think, oh, I'm too bad to come here, or my sin is too great, like, his love for us is greater, his love for us is stronger, his love for us has paid the price greater than our sin. He loves us, he loves you. But also, if we're selfish or lazy, we need to remember, like, he said, like, do you want to carry the cross? Like, do you want to follow me? Because loads of other people listened to me and followed me for a bit, and then they stopped. But do you want to follow me? Like, coming out of COVID, like, do you want to follow me? Do you want to come after me? When Jesus asked Peter 3 times, do you love me? Let me ask us as a church, Thornhill Church, do we love Jesus? If so, let's go against our culture. Thornhill Church, do we love Jesus? If so, let's see this as the eternal family. Thornhill Church, do we love Jesus? Let's believe that he's greater than our sin. Or maybe stop being lazy and carry our cross. we're going to have communion together now, and we're going to put in the middle if Graham can, and Andy can help, and then the band are going to come up, because part of being in COVID is we had what I kind of called the COVID cups, and so where we take it, didn't we, and we put it individually and we do our own bits, and it kind of forced us, didn't it, to do it by ourselves, to be separate from one another, to not look at each other in the face, to kind of do our own thing. But like, we want to be family, don't we? Like, we want to come round the meal together. We want to come round. And so that's what we put in the middle of the room, is we're going to do it together. Like, we're going to take this together. We're going to break bread together now, as the early church did. And we follow the one who went so much against the culture. Jesus went so much against his culture that they killed him. Like, that's what he went so much against the culture that he killed him. Jesus had to go against his own family and friends many times as they tried to talk him out of doing what he did or believing what he did. Yet he still went. And he calls us to carry our crosses, because he literally carried his cross on that Friday, but then rose from the dead. So on a Sunday, we can remember the Creator God. So on a Sunday, we can remember the one who has freed us from slavery. So on a Sunday, we can worship the one who has conquered death. I'm going to come down now, and the band are going to come up, and I'm just going to explain communion with us.